is 7:02 on August 30th, 2018, calling the meeting order for the Historic Preservation Commission. Calling the roll, Commissioner Prestis.
Here.
Commissioner Rayne Wagden.
Here.
Commissioner Popowitz.
Yep.
Commissioner Dowling.
Here.
Commissioner, Chairman Franek.
Here.
Commissioner Gremley.
Here.
Great. So we're just missing Commissioner Pritz, and we do have a quorum.
Good. Public testimony. Jan, Bill?
No, merely
observers?
It's not really testimony, but
okay.
I know you've got the brochure about ready. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm Bill McDonald. I'm from 803 Bonnie Bray. I know you've got the brochure about ready. And as you know, Dave, I work for the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust. So I've been talking to people about getting awareness of our significant properties and educating people. Part of your mission is to educate people about our great architecture and all that. So both the CEO and president of the Frank Lloyd Wright Trust, and I also talked to Heidi Rooley May. Have you met Heidi yet?
Yes.
She's with UGRF. Both highly recommend that you guys might want to consider collaborating with Visit Oak Park with their brand new executive director, Eric Wagner, who is in there since June. And both of the aforementioned heads of those organizations say he's got experience with Illinois tourism. He is a hard charger. It's a new world, all those kinds of features. And you guys ought to, everybody always says, do what Oak Park does for their HBC because they're so far ahead of so many others, so join in with them. But they're recommending this Visit Oak Park outfit that supposedly serves 17 communities, including us and Maywood and Melrose Park and all that. And it's going to be this vital new activity with this new director. So I just want to offer that as a potential avenue for
what,
you guys.
What's his title?
Let's see. Hold on a second now. I think he's called executive director or president.
I think he's the executive director of Visit.
No, he's president and CEO of Visit Oak Park.
Visit Oak Park.
And he's brand new, and as I said, he had experience apparently with Illinois tourism.
Good.
And he's one of these hard chargers that it would be good for you guys to be affiliated with for your activities.
Appreciate that, Bill. I'll give him a call. I'll reach out to him.
And just so you know, too, the village president has met with him on a couple of occasions regarding Furious Things. He's seen the brochure. I shared with him a draft. Because him and the village president discussed that, so
good
avenue, and could be another good way to distribute that.
Anything else?
That's it. Thanks.
Valued as always, Jan.
That's your question.
You're here as the UN observer.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me digress a tad then from the published agenda and offer our welcome to the newest Commissioner Owen Dowling.
Thank you.
Owen, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go around the table and talk about what we bring supposedly to the table.
I grew up in Oak Park River Forest, and I'm on my second River Forest home right now. I have owned property and managed property as a property manager and realtor in the Oak Park River Forest and Forest Park area. And I've had a long history at the building at Lake and Franklin, the William Drummond building. My family was involved there from 1983 to 2005. Recently sold the 400 Lathrop building, and I was involved there for over 30 years. So I'm now at 603 Thatcher, my second home on Thatcher, and I'd like to be involved. So Kathy asked me to join the group, and I was feel I can contribute and be a good listener and facilitate and pop in an idea now and then too. And I did check those nice videos that Al Popowitz had done, sort of do a little homework before I came to the meeting, so I thought that prep me a little bit, look at the historic map and a few things like that.
Great. Welcome. Al, why don't you elucidate a little bit about your background?
Lived in Oak Park River Forest since 1958. Raised my family in Oak Park.
been living in River Forest for about the last 30 years, and been involved in a few things here and there. And I was too was asked to become a member of this, a member of HPC. And basically, I'm a former high school teacher, so I know a little bit about communications, putting together programs. And my main contribution, I hope, to this organization is help to come up with ways of educating, that's not so highfalutin, making people familiar with the resources, the architectural jewels that we have in River Forest. We know about the jewels in Oak Park, so what I'm trying to also highlight what we have in River Forest. And that actually is my mission.
Dave?
Hey, hello, I'm Dave. Back here with Reno Ogden. I live on Edgewood Place. I'm here since 2002, and I'm an architect. I offer advice in that realm of the discussions here.
Brian?
Hi, I'm Brian Prestis. I'm a lawyer. I moved to Oak Park in 2006. My wife was born and raised here. I moved to River Forest in 2012. That's all I got.
Carla?
We moved to Oak Park in 1980 and then to River Forest in 1986, mainly because we wanted to live in a Starco designed by an architect named Robert Spencer, which is where we've been now for the past 32 years. I'm retired. My last job, my last 13 years, was with the Joffrey Ballet, where for six of those 13 years, I directed their education and outreach programs, and for all 13, I was the ballet master and director for the Nutcracker Children's Cast of 120 children. So I'm a good organizer.
Herding cats, too.
Yes. Easy. Herding cats is easier than that.
And I'm Dave Franek. I'm the chair. My wife and I moved to River Forest in 99. Last fall, I retired after 38 years of practicing law as a commercial real estate attorney, doing various transactions all over the country. I've had a long-time interest in historic preservation. Probably the founder of the commission, Laurel McMahon, was chair for the first 2 years. Then I sat in the chair for the following eight. And after we amended the ordinance, Tom Zarowski was chair for 2 years. Tom left this past January. And when that happened, President Ducey asked me to reassume the presidency, the chairmanship. So here I am. I'm interested in fostering the community discussion about the values of preservation, what it brings to the community, both in terms of quality of life as well as economic benefits. And I tend to be someone who believes in trying to foster consensus and also speak in terms of letting everyone have their opinions fully shared and exchanged. So it's worked pretty well so far. But as I said, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Approval of meeting minutes for July 19th. Does anyone have any comments? I've got one, and that's in section 4 in second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, third line. Watermark?
It is what I meant to say, but I could choose a better word.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have one? It's, you know, they added kind of a...
It's like a shading.
A shading.
Yeah,
sure.
Or something, or a color designation or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah, you got it.
Something. Does anybody have any other thoughts? Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, they're approved. Review of the brochure map.
Yeah, so the update there, you know, I hoped to have a hard copy of a proof to share with you tonight. I don't. It took a little bit of time to get that spec pulled together because of the fold isn't quite traditional. I was worried for a second it would hurt us on cost, but it won't. It's just a little bit of communication between the printing firms to get some quotes on that. I don't think we're going to do a hard copy proof. It's quite expensive, and so it, you know, the process of doing that and then changing it would require a setup fee, and it doesn't make much sense. But I do have two. I'm waiting on a third quote. I was hoping to get it today. I'm sure I'll get it tomorrow, so then we can get those placed, that order placed. I don't expect the lead time to be very long, so I think we'll have the hard copies in a couple weeks. Just to give everybody an update, you know, I kind of chatted over with a couple different members of staff. I'm kind of guessing, but I decided to get quotes for 5,000 copies. I don't know if anybody has an indication one way or another, but we're looking probably, I think the low quote out of the first two was $1,400 for 5,000 copies. It's not a bad number to start with, I think, and for that price point that we were kind of already expecting, I think we can get a good first run out of them and go from there. So unless anybody has any comments, it's kind of how I'm proceeding there. So
Sounds good.
Appreciate everybody's hard work on that and bring it home here.
Yeah, I would love to be able to get it out sooner rather than later.
Absolutely.
As people start magically appearing, walking down our streets.
Yeah. And the good thing too that we can make sure to do with them is plan for April, May too, to get them to all those places. When I look kind of back at our list, I think a lot of them kind of revolve around the walking tour and things like that, so we can come up with a plan of how we want to distribute those, and then wherever else we decide we want to drop them off, we can take care of that, or however else we want to do it. I don't know, maybe the first one, I think it makes sense to at least send it to those 30 homeowners, and then I'm not sure how else you guys want to do it. Obviously, the library and things like that, I can take care of getting copies there, but I don't know if you guys want to take a stack or however we want to do it. We'll start to kind of dish those out. I haven't yet, but I will look into at least getting an estimate on what it would cost to send a copy to every home. That was a thought at one point. Again, my gut feeling is that's going to be a high price tag, but we'll find out.
Okay, great. Bill McDonald, I also volunteer as an interpreter over at Unity Temple. And I've talked up the tourism benefits of seeing the sister village. We will continue those efforts, and maybe there's a way to distribute some various maps over there. We'll
as soon as I have them, everybody will know about it.
So yeah. Just
everywhere behind the corner.
Yeah.
You really want to see some good stuff? Yeah. It's an interesting group of people, because this is the first year I've done it, starting in January, and at least when I've done it, I've noticed that unlike the home and studio, most of the people that show up in Unity Temple are fairly hardcore. They know what it is. They're just not kind of walking by, or they're not going through the Chicago area. It's like, oh yeah, we understand that seeing the home and studio is kind of cool, and we really ought to do it so we can check the box and move on. They tend to be kind of deep into the weeds in terms of architecture. Probably half of the people that I do tours with are architects, and probably, God forbid, and probably... I need absolution, Dave. And probably half of the total are also foreign residents, particularly in the winter and spring. Got a lot of folks from South America, a lot of folks from Europe. I know they keep a log over there of foreign countries. And when you include the people who do the self-guided tours, as well as the pay a couple of bucks more and get a live interpreter, It tends to, it's really pretty surprising, the numbers of countries that are involved. So, oh well, interesting stuff. Additional ways to protect significant properties. John, why don't you talk a little bit about what's going on with 1123 Franklin?
Sure. Yeah, I sent that email out to the commission, just kind of updating people on the conversation that I had with them. Starting from the top, I guess, there's new owners there. There are residents in town elsewhere, and they bought this home with intentions of kind of renovating it or building new, but to move into that property. So I guess I say that as opposed to, flipping it. You know, they intend to live at that property. So I've talked to them about a couple of things. They certainly were well-read on the ordinance. They were in understanding. They had kind of educated themselves on all those things, but had a couple of questions. As I think I've passed on to you guys, they one of the things they're interested in that we haven't explored really yet was the idea of removing the home's designation as being significant on the list. So I spoke with the village attorney about that, clarified that process, and provided that to them. I don't think that's the most likely route at this time for them to take, but I did kind of educate them on how that process would work. So you guys know it's a similar process. There's a set of requirements for that application in there, and then a list of standards by which to compare that against. So that could be something they consider, but again, I don't think it's the most likely scenario at this point. Beyond that, we did talk about the process for applying for demolition. I walked them through that. We talked about how all those things look like, what the completed application looks like, and all those things. They did consider some alternatives and talked about those, and kind of where I left with it. Again, this was the first week of August. This was when I met with them. Kind of where I've left them with that is that they were going to do some of their own, continue to do some of their own due diligence on the property. It sounds like they had already ordered a structural analysis of the property. They wanted to know what they were getting into there, and had a wide range of various architecture possibilities that they wanted to cost estimate, building new, building with the existing facade, trying to learn what the rehab would take if the based on the structural analysis, things like that. So it sounded like they had a lot of homework they wanted to do themselves on trying to cost those out and seeing what they could make work financially. It was clear to me, they discussed, how they appreciated the property and want to do some things like that. They just, after being in it, weren't sure what was going to be possible, so they're trying to do some of that homework there.
Could you say the address once more?
Sure, yeah, it's 1123 Franklin. Okay. To give you some background, this is a home that I don't remember who, but somebody started to renovate in 2007, 2008. The home was gutted and then foreclosed on and left vacant. Until it was purchased this year.
It's
been on and off the market.
Okay.
It has
for years.
Yeah, kind of listed in the summer months and then taken off the listing. You know, things like that, kind of back and forth.
Okay, thank you.
And this family purchased it. So, like I said, there's just, I guess, part of it is we don't totally know until we know. They're certainly educated on all the possibilities, and I got the sense that they were considering various possibilities. That's kind of all I know at this point. So, they certainly know they can reach back out with questions, and they have on some of those other things like that, some questions about the process and things like that, but we kind of know the story there. I don't think I have any further updates. Certainly, if I hear anything else from them or the building department, I'll let everybody know. That's kind of it for the time being.
Yeah, I guess my initial reaction is, and just to sort of fill a little background for Owen's benefit, it's one of the now 296 significant properties. What, 5-6 years ago, we commissioned a national request for a proposal, an RFP, and two architectural firms, both from Oak Park, joined in and did a survey of all the existing structures in the village to determine whether they met any of the eight criteria established by the Secretary of the Interior in 1965 in the National Historic Preservation Act. for preservation to determine whether they're quote-unquote significant in accordance with the requirements of the ordinance, either architecturally or historically. For instance, if they were associated with a person of note, mm-hmm. either to the community, the region, or the nation. This, in fact, is one of those. I guess my initial reaction is it's unfortunate the inside has been gutted, but that's not really part of our purview. Mm-hmm. And whether anything is missing on the inside, you know, obviously requires some work on their part, but really doesn't have any impact one way or another whether something is significant, because we're only concerned about what goes on the outside.
As far as the exterior, I'll note that too. So it was bank owned for quite some time. I don't know exactly how long, but 5-6 years. And you know, somewhere throughout that process, they had racked up a heavy fine and code enforcement issues for paint and for snow removal, which were both neglected. So those things have been taken care of now, and those fines have been paid and closed out. But as far as just the exterior was going, those were the two concerns. Obviously, snow removal doesn't concern us. But at one point, I'm sure Carlos has been by there too. At one point, it was looking real sad. I know it's since gotten a pretty simple paint job. But at one point, it was looking real sad with the paint. So,
Dave, did you say there was 296
yep.
homes in River Forest?
Yes.
That are significant?
Yeah, we started with 298, and two of those have been since demolished.
I had a thought the other day, because you had mentioned about removing it from the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I don't know exactly, I read the ordinance, I went back to read the ordinance on that process. And as Dave just said, the inside is not what we are looking at.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if what I see as a problem with removing any property from the list, there's nothing to prevent somebody going in there, a developer going in and stripping everything out and say, this house is uninhabitable, take it off the list.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we could really run into
problems.
Or the so-called demolition by neglect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, once I think they understood that whole process, I don't think that's the most likely route. But again, so, if you see this section of the ordinance, there's a list of what is, so the structure, building, site, or area has ceased to meet criteria for designation because the qualities which caused it to originally be designated have been lost or destroyed. Again, I'm not here to make a judgment one way or another, but that's one of the four criteria and the one that probably applies the most. Additional information shows that the structure, building, site, or area does not possess sufficient significance to meet the designation criteria. The original designation was clearly an error. There was a material misstatement of fact or prejudicial procedural error in the designation process. So that's the list by which the commission would be asked to make that decision for your kind of consideration.
Yeah, informationally, you can get online on the HPC's website. And you can see the survey, as we call it, comes in two volumes, if you will. The first is about an 80-page monograph that explains the history of the development of River Forest and a number of the architects who have worked there. And that is the your very own copy of the of the individual properties that made the list and the reasons why.
So you can kind of see here, it just goes through each property and it kind of captures their findings. We're talking about here, Frank, right? So
the idea is this is meant to be something that with approval by us, things can be added or altered over the years. It's a pretty...
exterior.
Yeah, here's the property we're talking about. It kind of shows you the statistical information and then the reason why it was highly distinctive Tudor Revival House constructed by the Bermo brothers. So
these are all significant in here.
Yes.
And is there a level just under, like contributing or something that's not significant, but it's historic because it's on the block or it's 100 years old or something like that?
There's
may not be significant, but...
There, it's either at the beginning or the end of this, there's a map that shows all the properties in the village, and it's color-coded for those that are significant and those that would otherwise be contributing.
Contributing,
particularly if they're in the historic district.
The answer to your question is yes, there is that list, but the homes that are contributing but not significant don't play by a different set of rules than any other home in the village.
Right, so it's really private property rights. As long as they're within code, they wouldn't come before this commission.
So the 296 homes on the significant list do have separate rules under the ordinance for demolition, windows, and changes to the facade over 20%. But the ones that are contributing are not subject to those constraints.
Okay. Yeah, in a nutshell, if there is a proposed change that impacts a facade visible from a public street, and it's more than 20% measured as linear feet, which is what the village wanted us to use, then we have jurisdiction as to whether we can approve it or not. And that's more advisory than anything else, and we've got a lot more teeth in terms of proposed demolitions, although we can only ultimately deny. But I urge you to read the ordinance, and if you got any questions, you can...
Is the ordinance in here too?
It's online.
It's online.
And I'm happy to get you a printed copy as well.
I can get it online.
It's probably like 15 pages.
If you go to vrf.us/historic, then you'll find everything right there. Yeah.
I'll plan to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have any questions, reach out to John, reach out to me.
Yeah, happy to help. But on 11/23, that's kind of the rest of the information I have. I'll update anybody as soon as possible. I don't really see a benefit to reaching out to them unless anybody has a question that can be answered. So, again, it did sound like they had quite a list of things they wanted to do to learn more about the property.
Yeah, they currently reside on Thatcher, and their home is up for sale. And it's currently more modest than the structure, which is a significant property in terms of its footprint and its presence on the block. Additional ways to protect significant properties. General discussion. Does anybody have any further thoughts as to what we've been talking about last couple of meetings?
I do have one, actually. So I was reached out to by the owners of 344 Keystone, the Heekins. And so that's the home just south of the tracks there. It's got the big, what is that feature called? Somebody help me out.
Widow's Walk.
Thank you. On top of the property there. And, some of those features around there. You guys might remember they won an award a couple years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
They spoke with David Burns, who's the owner of 147 Keystone on the other corner there, about some of those things. They were interested in participating in that video series that was kind of put together. So if you remember, the village board was wanting to do some more videos, and that was around the same time that Mr. Burns was asking what else we could possibly do to help him out on some of those things. So those are, in fact, the video for 147 Keystone's finished. It's quite good. It's obviously much different than what Al was doing. It's just focusing on that one property, and it's less historical and more toward just showing the investment and care that's been put into renovating that property from before and after. He is nearly done with the property at 558 Franklin as well, so we'll have those two videos, I think, in this coming month. Like I said, the one's done. I just need to get in front of the village board before kind of sharing that with the rest of the world, so that'll be good. Anyway, so the 344 Keystone, the Heekins, as many of you know, their property's been for sale for some time now, and they're interested as well as to if anybody has any ideas, I guess, or input or thoughts, so that, they've considered a couple of things. They are, they're obviously not wanting to advertise their home as a teardown and things like that, but they're trying to get creative with the ways to advertise it, since they don't feel they've gotten much interest in purchasing there. Trying to think of what else to share, but again, she was reaching out to me in part because she had learned that Mr. Burns had done that video series and wanted to express her interest. So certainly if we choose to do more videos like that in the future, which I think is a possibility, but you know, that'll be kind of up to the board a little bit. But if we just choose to do more videos like that in the future, they would be a good candidate for that, I think. Otherwise, you know, also just kind of, you know, I told her the commission can kind of be available, but I'm not sure that she had, you know, any specific asks of the commission, so I guess I'd just come to you in case anybody has ideas or input as to ways to, again, we talked about getting ahead of them. This is kind of something that's kind of come to us, that part of the process.
And one of the things we've talked about, Owen, over the last several meetings is ways to getting ahead of the process as opposed to playing defense when someone basically is already under contract for a demolition where all we can do is delay the demolition. But if someone has already invested time and or decided they can wait out the process, then the likelihood of saving a property is diminished. So we're thinking about ways of getting ahead. Additionally, based upon the comments and requests of a couple of village residents, I had a discussion at one of the village board meetings with the board of trustees and the village president, and they were very enthusiastic with the concept of our providing some form of list online of those properties which are either significant or, if that's a significant property, that we have given a preservation award to, which we do periodically if it warrants. Have done multiple, some years none, typically in the late spring, to try to expand the potential list of buyers who might be interested in looking at that. So that's one of the things we're kind of...
Does every significant homeowner in River Forest know that they have a significant home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so everyone...
How was that communicated? Was that just...
Like letter.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah, right.
More than once. Multiple letters.
So when the designation was first applied, there was public notices attached to that process in 2013, and then when the ordinance was revised.
So they have to have knowledge of.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose anyone can always claim that they weren't aware, but it would be kind of hard at this point.
Yeah.
Because we've reached out, I don't know, at least three times that I'm aware of. At least.
Absolutely.
With various letters explaining to people what's
going
on.
You almost think it would be like a title company, like not necessarily like a lien, but just an awareness or something that it would be that this address is, you know, so if somebody doing a title search or looking at the property would, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody at Prairie Title would have an idea on something like that. But
yeah, we've thought about that concept, and it hasn't really gotten a lot of legs because it really, you know, where do you stop in terms of trying to identify to certain people that various ordinances work? One of the things that we've tried to focus on rather is dealing with the local realtors and making them aware, specifically with the historic properties, because they're the significant properties, because there tend to be a much smaller subset of realtors
that specialize in that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's probably six or eight folks, just off the top of my head, in Oak Park and River Forest who have the vast majority of the properties that fall into this category where they've got an agency relationship. So,
Mr. Burns isn't Ken Burns, is it?
I'm sorry?
Mr. Burns, the video guy?
No.
So the homeowner is David Burns.
David Burns.
The gentleman, the British guy.
Yeah.
He was here.
Who's here?
Laurel's former neighbor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The guy that made the videos.
Too.
Sorry. No, we're not that prestigious. Sorry.
The guy who made the videos is John Griffin, who's also a resident.
Oh, I know John. Okay. He's an appraiser, too, I think. Oh, no, I'm thinking of someone else, Bob Griffin.
Okay. Any other business? Al?
We were talking about possibly a Facebook page.
Yeah.
How is that progressing?
Yeah, so I did talk to the village administrator, village administrator about that. We kind of have a conversation. And I think you guys kind of understand there's some hesitancy there. There's been pushes from other commissions in the past and certainly other departments to kind of do some of those things. Our goal is to centralize it, to try to keep all of those things in one place. Here's what my feedback would be. If the commission is serious about trying to go down that route, then I think we should try to improve our presence on the village's channels first and do some of those things. Okay. Certainly some of the posts on Facebook that the commission has had before have performed well. There's only been a couple, but they've performed well. You know, last meeting, I think, is when we talked about the mural painted by the tracks. That post got a lot of love, and that's great to see, and people like seeing things like that. And certainly, I think when the commission has done it, it's had good pieces or inputs for the e-newsletter as well. So I think what might be helpful to start would be to, I don't know, if somebody wants to take charge of that, it would not involve anything more than sending either content or even a general idea, and I'll write the rest of the content to me, for the e-news. I'm not sure. Are you on the e-news distribution list? Do you get those emails?
Yes.
And I can add anybody else to the. And all it is just I send an email every month with the deadline for submissions for the e-news, and somebody wants to be in charge of coordinating that. That's fine. Again, even if it's just a rough outline, I'll put the rest together if you need me to, and things like that. But. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that makes sense to me, and I'm not here to second guess the village's overarching policy of wanting to centralize. And I do take your point as well taken that push through some content, some additional content, and sort of see how it goes.
Walk before you crawl, right?
Yeah, so it may hit the other way around, but I get it.
Yeah.
I've seen on Facebook the announcements about Al's slideshows. Did those go out? Were those from the village? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who put them there. I just know they were in my feed, and I'm having trouble remembering.
Yeah. So the village has certainly put all of those.
You did
out.
Those ones, okay?
And like I said, we've done some before,
Again,
we've announced the award winners on there, and those.
We should announce our awesome map.
Totally.
As soon as it's ready.
Totally. But I'm thinking more in general, like we've talked before, if there's a featured property of the month or something like that that somebody wants to do.
Yeah.
These things I think are made well for a website and social media content. They're visually pleasing. I think people in the community are generally interested in it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
making it accessible.
Well, there's that Facebook page for the Prairie School Traveler or something that, and they are always putting. There's lots of cool stuff. All it really is some dude who goes to wherever and takes a cool picture of wherever and posts it. Actually, it's usually in far flung places that I never knew there were Frank Lloyd Wright buildings. It'll be downtown Minneapolis or something, and it's great.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I'll have to look.
People might like to see that kind of stuff. The only hesitancy I'd have about, sweet historic property of the month is homeowner sensitivity.
Sure.
Someone's house shows up and it's circulated to the whole village, they're
it's for sale or something.
Well, it just sort of, it's kind of an, it could be, to some people, as we know from our experience with the map, it's more publicity than they welcome.
Totally.
So we'd have to think, you can use mine as the first one.
I was going
to
say, you guys own a couple of them.
Yeah.
We could start there.
Oh, yeah.
And two, even if somebody wanted to write a paragraph and take a couple pictures of 344 Keystone, that's somebody who we know
that'd
for sure is interested.
We could take ones off. We could just kind of run through the ones that are on the map with the idea of bumping them all off over a period.
And if you want to, we could even use those narratives.
Right. Yeah.
How many are on the map?
30,
so it goes for two and a half years.
The brochure, 30,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As it does in its plural.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and in terms of getting homeowner approval, between the people who are on the commission and our friends, we could probably knock off more than half of the ones that are on map.
Yeah, exactly. And continue to ask people. It's a point well taken. I get it. That might be more than some people want. But again, if you have flattering pictures of your home and things like that, I think most people would be welcome to
yeah.
it. I would, you know, right? So you'd probably get more yeses than no's.
You could do an Oak Park versus River Forest showdown.
You know, put it, you know, you put up something like that, you have a, you know, an interesting fact or something. Especially, you know, it's a good point, too, if you could get in touch with homeowners and highlight any of what I think is interesting about the video series, like the Burns' thing, is that I think a lot of people probably walk by that house and I think would watch the video because they want to know what the inside looks like. I think that's a natural curiosity for most people in the village, right?
Yeah.
So this is a 5-minute, you know, well-edited video touring the whole home. But even if you got somebody that did something interesting in their home and you had an interior picture too, I think people generally like that. It's the same reason why people that aren't shopping for homes cruise real estate websites, you know what I'm saying? Just because they're interested in what homes around them look like. So, so do I. So, yeah, totally.
To sort of supplement what Brian said for Owen's benefit, we actually had one resident who contacted us and said he did not want his home listed on the brochure. So we removed it. So there's one out of like 37.
But that homeowner's probably in here, though.
They didn't have a
choice in that.
Let's see.
They don't really have a choice with the map either. We just indulge them. I mean,
one thing I just saw.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The Wednesday Journal also, now they have 846 Bonnie Bray in this week, but that's a realtor that's for sale, but they have a feature about the home. So a lot of times when a home is for sale, you know, obviously they're marketing it, but if it's whatever kind of, and they feature Oak Park and River Forest, of course, in the Wednesday Journal. But, I mean, you may just be want to take a look at this week's journal because they have 846 Bonnie Bray is in there.
And one of the things that I'm always reminded of this time of year is for those of us that had a lot of schooling, I always regarded the end of August and the first part of September as the first part of the year. As well as the chronological January 1st. So a lot of people tend to get a little bit more momentum and they're a little bit more receptive to doing stuff once their kids get in the routine after a couple of weeks. So this is the proverbial strike while the iron is hot time.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just looking too. You know, I know that 344 Keystone is on the brochure. You know, so maybe one of the ways you kind of parlay both those things together is you put the picture of 344 Keystone in the description and then, you know, check out this and other homes in the map here, pick up a copy, whatever that looks like, if that makes sense to everybody. I know that homeowner's welcome to it for sure, right?
Absolutely.
She's calling and doing all that stuff.
No, it makes perfectly good sense.
And would probably even send some of her own pictures if she has them. So.
And they just did an extraordinary job. You know, as shown by the award we gave them.
Right, yeah. And you know, to be candid too, you know, the village board with some of those videos is coming at it from an angle more of trying to capture and communicate village pride, right? You know, homeowners' pride and caring and, you know, and investing in their properties. But it's a perfect match, you know, with what you guys are doing here too, because in general, homes that are invested in more probably have a lower chance of being candidates for demolition down the road, right? So I think all that stuff adds up and makes sense.
Yeah.
No. I think we should totally do, like, I mean, I don't. It doesn't have to be called Property of the Month.
Right.
I think we should do the Property of the Month thing. It's easy.
Yeah.
And it advances, like, every aim we can come up with.
And I think if you can tie it in with the map, then you've got that whole marketing thing right there. You know, start with, this is on our new map, you know, Property of the Month.
It looks like a low-hanging fruit.
Yep.
Does anybody want to pick properties to start with? Do you want me to pick properties to start with? Does anybody?
Let's do 344.
Yeah.
As the first one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure,
why don't we start with the ones that are currently on the market but not necessarily moving?
That are in the brochure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there others other than 344 that I know?
I think so. I can take a look and send you a...
Appreciate that, Carla.
Yeah. Just for information's sake, how's the old River Forest Women's Club doing? That was on the market.
That's on the market still.
Mm-hmm. Still, it's on the market.
There you go.
But that's
it's a strange house.
It's a very interesting structure on the inside.
Well, it is. I've been in there only once, but it really.
It's a very
the other ones.
It's a unique property. Even more so on the inside than on the outside.
I wonder if the village could purchase that. And you, I know. I mean, we're just gonna, what are you asking for it, by the way? Any ideas?
What is it?
I mean, it's kind of a huge case.
Oh, it's over a million. It's over a million. Still, I mean, they've been coming down in price.
I think $1.3 million nowadays. It used to be a lot of money years ago, but a million is nothing. You're not even a millionaire anymore if you got a million. But the point is, it's got a huge kitchen. It's got a large, I've been in there. It's got a large auditorium when it was dead.
It's got a stage.
It's got a stage, got an auditorium. I mean, it has multiple uses. Looks I mean, like if there's anything that would serve a village purpose, I mean, that would certainly be it.
Well, single family wasn't its initial purpose either. It was the River Forest Women's Club, so it was sort of a community gathering building.
In fact, River Forest Women's Club was the first women's club in the United States, as far as I know, in Illinois certainly, that owned its own club, the first one. So it was originally purposed for just, and it's a Drummond, of course. So it's meant to be that. Yeah. And
looks like it's on the market for 1.13.
Okay.
Oh, that's not a lot of money.
Come down.
That's not a lot of money.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to go that route, Al, either you as an individual or the commission can make a decision to pitch that to the village board. But that's
procedurally. I buy a lottery ticket every week. You know.
Procedurally, that's how that would work.
No, yeah, I know.
That sounds good, right? So I hope to have these copies in a couple weeks, anyways. But that all sounds good. If anybody has anything in the interim that you think is worth communicating, or if anybody comes across people that are, maybe it's not necessarily an award type thing, but almost like that, you become aware of people that are doing cool projects or things like that. Let me know. We can do something there too. We'll plan to start with that one and see how that goes, and we'll certainly push the brochure. So.
Good, great.
I think the most important thing for the house of the month is just the good image. The candy is it's a picture.
And yes. we have a lot of them in the brochure that David took, so we can start with those.
Yeah.
Certainly, there's some more out there too of a lot of these homes. And so that makes sense. And like I said, I don't know, maybe that doesn't hold any weight with anybody else, but I think it'd be interesting if I could make a suggestion. I think it'd be interesting if we could get interior shots of some of the homes as a part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, if we did have homeowners that were willing, or having seen the video on 147 for Keystone.
It's so cool. That house is so cool.
Right, but I think a lot of people walk by it and are curious, right? So I thought it's a notable house, on a notable corner type of a thing. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, cool.
Any other business?
Did everybody handle the doodle okay? Does doodle work?
Did you get our answers? Okay.
You got the responses back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. There you go.
I don't know if I did or not.
Doodle? What?
Doodle. Not Google. Doodle.
So, Al, you
maybe I did.
I had you on there, yeah. So
that's a meeting response.
It's a link, and then you can kind of click which meetings are best for everybody.
For this meeting, I didn't know it was called Doodle, but
that worked out very well.
That works for everybody. Yeah, yeah. I'll plan to do that again in the next week or so September meeting.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that worked well.
Okay, great.
While I'm thinking of it, one of the joys of joining our happy band, Owen, is you get to go through the State Open Meetings Act training that I'm sure has been explained to you.
It has not, but I'm kind of familiar with it. But
yeah, it's some online, John will talk to you about it. Yeah, it's some online stuff and a little, like a 20-minute, question and answer, so you can, it's a one-and-done kind of thing.
I'll do the training.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. We'll get you that.
All right.
And there's an annual statement of economic interest to make sure you're not doing any self-dealing with all the money we get to deal with here, namely zero, which I think it's due in April. Let's say April or May, something like that.
Every year we do that?
Yeah.
We haven't done that yet, though.
Yeah, we have.
Well, for 2018, we did it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do it again next winter.
Yep. Well, if there's no other business, do I hear a motion?
A motion to adjourn.
Second it.
Okay.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thanks, everybody.